I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB here in the Mack Hike of Flowood Studios. Appreciate you joining me today. Who won't be joining me today is Americans for Prosperity. They are in some training sessions this week, so they will not be in next hour. Still plenty to talk about. We'll catch up with them again next week. Let me go ahead and get into this stuff. I'm at the verge of a Howard Beale moment here. Are you familiar with Howard Beale in the movie Network? He is the, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. He goes off on a real tirade on live television. It's really pretty compelling stuff. Maybe I should pull up the clips. I think it's saved to my clip file. Because if there's ever a time in the United States, modern history, certainly in my lifetime, where people should be shouting out, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore, now is the time. Well, I feel like there's been brewing for the last 24 hours, my Howard Beale moment. And I'm going to have a little bit of it today for sure as I pick apart some of the recent news here. Before I get into that, I'll go ahead and do some quotes of the day today. This was interesting. Rand Paul, really, I think Ron Johnson has been good on COVID issues. Rand Paul really leading the charge against Anthony Fauci. For some reason, he feels pretty alone in this. The other 50 Republican senators, pretty happy to let Fauci parachute out at the end of this year into some nice, cushy big pharma job with his full state pension. But Rand Paul's going after him. Rand Paul seems like most conservative appreciate at least him holding Fauci's feet to the fire. But Rand Paul tweeted this out. He said, every libertarian leading Republican in Congress we feature often on Liberty Tree won their elections by double digits. Every libertarian leaning Republican in Congress won their election by double digits. So if you want to find a candidate that maybe does better so that you don't have to worry about a third party candidate maybe stealing 1.8% of the vote and then you blame them. They're the spoiler. These libertarian-leaning candidates are trying to show you the way, but the Republican Party just won't allow many of those in. So it's just easier to continue to blame third parties for being spoilers rather than actually putting together impressive candidates that can attract people, particularly independents. George Washington said, a quote of the day, associate yourself with men of good quality if you esteem your own reputation, for 'tis better to be alone than in bad company. And John F. Kennedy, quote of the day, John F. Kennedy, conformity is the jailer of freedom and the enemy of growth. The last real American president, John F. Kennedy. Now, one of the reasons that I do quotes of the day, a lot of times it's a window into what people have thought. They're much more succinct than I am. A lot of wisdom and few words, something I don't really possess. Takes me a lot of words to say what I mean. But you know what I wish? I wish we were, as a people in the United States, really probably around the world, but here's where I'm concerned with. I really wish the American people were thinkers. I wish we had a populace of people who even appreciated leaders who were thinkers. They actually have some intellectual pursuit, actually some deep thought into some topics. What we like in the United States is to be sold something shiny. There's very little thought that goes into it. We don't read in this country much anymore. We don't process information in a thoughtful way, in an intelligent way, and it's why we're in such a mess. We have become a nation of lazy people waiting for politicians to solve our problems, most of which are problems caused by these exact same politicians. And intelligence in the United States has been replaced with emotion. Now, I don't know if we ever possessed. I don't know at what time there was some tipping point, but I would say probably, as I've chronicled here, the average American IQ is going down by about 6 points per generation. I blame the food, the education system. But we've ceased being a nation that can think things through, and that's a real shame. There are solutions to all problems, some more difficult. But we allow the political class to set kind of the Overton window on what's acceptable to talk about. What's, you know, everything else is radical on the right or the left. It doesn't really matter. They set this little area, and 95% of the people in the United States accept those limitations on ideas for things, and they just stick inside those things. And we bat this thing around. I just wish we were thinkers in this country again, or that we appreciated people with some level of deep thought about things, unique ways of doing things, innovative ways of doing things. In Mississippi particularly, it's a shame. It's sad to see a state that's got some geographical benefits. We've really got a very low cost of living here in the state. There's no reason we shouldn't be really successful and able to attract a lot of business and lift Mississippi out of poverty, but there's no intellectual thinking going on down at the Capitol here. And when it comes to national politics, thinking and intellectualism, and I'm not talking about pointy head intellectual professors, I'm talking about people with some real thought being leaders. That's not what we want. We want something shiny. There's a reason that politicians have to spend $3 billion on a midterm election for $160,000 a year jobs, because you've got to sell people these things. They're not thought out. They don't make any sense. They're not solutions, but you got to couch them as that. And it takes a whole lot of slick marketing to convince us to accept the system that we have right now. And I'll tell you, in my run-up to a Howard Beale moment, I've pretty much lost faith in the American people. Because even those that seem to be in part of the resistance still don't get it in so many different areas. A lot of encouraging things, people challenging the school boards. At least they're starting to understand the corruption of this government, but they only see it in partisan terms. They still don't get it. And I'm going to give you a good example in just a second. Everybody waiting for a savior. I've had decades of this, and people still look to the same political class to come save them. Got to get that 51 senators. If we just get it back to the Republicans, they'll save us all. Now, I wanted a red wave. There certainly was some value in stopping what the left is doing right now, but I just wish we thought about things. So I'm going to give you some thought-provoking stuff in just a second. Not because I'm a genius. I mean, this stuff is so easy to me that when I see people not able to think about things, it's depressing to me. It doesn't take much. It really doesn't take much. These aren't hard concepts I'm going to cover. But it is outside of the Overton window of allowable discussion, particularly, I'm going to tell you the truth, particularly on conservative talk radio. Because conservatives are very much like the left in many cases, just emotional people. They're not thinkers. You don't want to think. They want to just react. React emotionally. Be sold a concept. I'm going to cover something in a second. Probably not. I'm not going to do it with kid gloves. I'll tell you that because I'm sick of it. I'm tired of people giving away our rights constantly. It's unbelievable to see. You know, libertarians sitting on the sidelines for 50 years warning you about the Patriot Act, those kinds of things. Well, just disregarded. Ridiculous. It's outside the Overton window. They tell us there's a terrorist behind every bush. We need the Patriot Act. How's that working out for you now? More about that in a little bit. FBI's got a new spying program. Not too many people probably aware of that, because I know I wasn't, but we'll cover that later, too. But anyway, I'm just asking that people start to think. It seriously takes about a nanosecond to actually think about a topic for just a second, rather than just blindly cheering for the political solution to everything. I'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show. I don't know. Like I say, I'm a bit frustrated today. I'm in a mood. I've said it before. It happens probably about once or twice a month where I really just, unless I just get to that desperate, I just lose faith in humanity. There's a topic that has come up. I've heard it discussed on this radio station and heard callers come in and really kind of applaud this new policy that Donald Trump is rolling out. Maybe this is an exercise in how to think beyond that first emotional knee jerk. And unfortunately for a lot of people, I guess it's a gut reaction. Usually your gut is pretty good. There's actually studies of this, a great book called Blink, and that you almost intuitively can make great decisions in a second, but then our monkey mind comes in and starts getting us to hem and haw and stuff, but you actually know the right thing to do, but you disregard it and start trying to use logic or other things to that. It's a weird thing, almost like a psychic ability. Again, it's Malcolm Gladwell's Blink. I think it's a fantastic book. It's fascinating. You can use it in your own life. If I could ever harness this, I would be the world's greatest poker player and might stop making some horrific decisions in my own personal life. One of those horrific decisions may be the next couple of segments that I do. Donald Trump the other day gave his announcement speech. And one thing that has been discussed on this radio station, on other shows, and I haven't talked about it. I've already explained that I believe Donald Trump's candidacy for the presidency is actually Operation Checkmate, run by the globalists, because it will destroy the Republican Party and make sure that the authoritarian left is in charge for at least the next 25 years as they complete their plans. But that's notwithstanding. I wanted to talk about this because I'm going to show you how much conservatives miss. Because I do get excited about you people. I've seen so many people kind of resisting what's going on and realizing, I hear you talking about the Republican Party. The party's not serving you. You finally understand that. I hear conservatives talk about, we don't need to be in this Ukraine war. It's like you're getting so close. You're just not there yet. I'm going to try to help you get over the finish line. It's a little bit of tough love. But this is something, as I say, it's been discussed on this station. And I wanted to just give you a couple of things to think about. Maybe throw them in the mixer when you hear a new policy discussed and you just cheer for it because it feels good to you. Feels good.
We will wage war upon the cartels and stop the fentanyl and deadly drugs from killing 200,000 Americans per year. And I will ask Congress for legislation ensuring that drug dealers and human traffickers, these are terrible, terrible, horrible people who are responsible for death, carnage, and crime all over our country. Every drug dealer, during his or her life on average, will kill 500 people with the drugs they sell, not to mention the destruction of families.
Now, I'm not carrying water for drug dealers. I will point out again that this exact same kind of thing happened in the 1920s when they prohibited alcohol. Suddenly, people who sold alcohol became very violent. This was the rise of the mob, of Al Capone, of murders in the streets of Chicago for the first time. Now it's normal. Mass slaughters. The St. Valentine's Day Massacre. These things happened when they made alcohol illegal. Don't hear a lot about two alcohol companies now that they've made it legal, even though this is a product that intoxicates you, makes you do dumb things, can cause health problems, can cause addiction. When you legalized it, at least you got rid of all this death and violence. People don't take one sip of anything out of a bottle of a liquor store and keel over and die. because those products are by reputable companies who want to keep their customers. Not so with drugs. With prohibition, you unleash violence and you assure bad quality with no recourse whatsoever. So I'm just saying the drug war created all of the things he's talking about right now. And the proof is right there, because it created it when we outlawed alcohol, and it went away when we made alcohol legal. So you're creating this mess in the first place, but that's not even the worst part yet.
But we're going to be asking everyone who sells drugs, gets caught selling drugs, to receive the death penalty for their heinous acts, because it's the only way.
It's the only way. It's the only way. Can we think about this for just a nanosecond, please, for the love of God? I didn't get to you. I wasn't on air before you passed the Patriot Act and set up the Department of Homeland Security, warrantless surveillance of the entire American population that is being used against you right now as domestic terrorist. I didn't have a chance to get in front of that one. Can I stop you here? Can we just for a nanosecond? Let me lay out my case here. But before you people reenact another essentially like a Patriot Act and try to strip away more of my rights, can you please take a few minutes to get the hamster wheels in the head moving just a little bit? Let's start with this one. Would any of the constitutional conservatives out there, the authorities in the Constitution, I hear a lot of love from the Constitution on the right, can you locate for me in the Constitution that part where it says government was granted the authority to tell me what kind of plant I can consume? I'll wait. Surely all the constitutional conservatives out there know the document backwards and forwards, and so that will be easy to point to the part where it says the government, quote, shall allow the consumption of a fermented plant until intoxicated, but must forbid the consumption of a desiccated plant used for intoxication. There's got to be, because constitutional conservatives, cheering for Donald Trump here, cheering on the drug war, there must be something in the Constitution. Now, I don't take drugs. Come up here if you want to pee test me. I'm not an advocate for drugs. I'm an advocate for freedom. And if you want to explain to me the part of the Constitution that says I couldn't, if I wanted to, sit on my back porch at sunset and smoke a plant, please point this out to me. Is there part of the Constitution that I am unaware of, and I have read it, pretty familiar with the Bill of Rights, where it says the cops can break down my door and kidnap me because I want to take a hallucinogen while I watch The Wizard of Oz? Because it happens every single day. So just on the constitutional basis alone, the war on drugs fails across the board. But as I say, we're not a nation of thinkers. We only care about the Constitution when it's being attacked by the other side. I'd submit to you about 95% of what Congress does is unconstitutional. Yet they have set this Overton window and said, these are the things we're going to be in charge of. And everybody goes, duh, okay. And then still has, and the people can still go out and go, I'm a constitutional conservative. We need to adhere to that Constitution. The left is always violating the Constitution. I will wait. I'll wait. Find that part of the Constitution that says we're not allowed to make bad mistakes for ourselves. Doing hard drugs is not a wise choice. Neither is stuffing your gullet full of fried chicken and Skittles. Neither is a divorce and an affair. There's a whole lot of bad decisions. We're allowed to make those in this country and pay the consequences for it. And if any of you out there still can't make this leap, obviously if you harm somebody else while intoxicated on beer, wine, liquor, or drugs, you're still prosecuted the same way. So don't give me the, well, drug addicts do X, Y, and Z. So do alcoholics. So do perfectly sober people. Laws are out there to design to protect people from other people, regardless of their mental state or their level of intoxication. I'm talking about this idea where the founders put into this document, founders who were hemp growers. I believe George Washington used marijuana for his tooth pain or something along those lines. I'm just saying, tell me in the Constitution, for the constitutional conservatives out there that are cheering for this stuff explain to me where in the Constitution it forbids the use of products personally. If that's my pursuit of happiness, is sitting on a beach somewhere and smoking a joint. Explain to me where it says the government should come snatch me off of that beach and put me into a cage. Yeah, the phones aren't ringing there. That's going to be a difficult one. All right, let's go on to another one here. The police already have a pretty bad job. They encounter a lot of violence in the drug war. As I've explained, the violence in the drug war is because it's prohibited. They don't encounter a whole lot of violence if they go into a bar, because the bar gets a business license. They're well known. They advertise. They're running a legitimate business. But if they go into a drug den, they face a lot of violence. Now, imagine this. For just again, we don't want to see police hurt. What kind of danger do you think police would be put into if every drug dealer out there knew that they were going to be put to death? And I'm going to let Trump flesh this out a little bit. He's not proposing a lengthy process of due process. So if a drug dealer gets caught by the cops right now, depending on what he's dealing and the quantity, you know, because again, the drug war, so effective. A drug dealer goes, oh my gosh, I got caught. I may end up doing 3 to 5. Do you think their mental state changes a little bit if they know, oh, I'm going to be executed. I'm going to do whatever I can to get away from this cop. See, a lot of cops, when they go in and they arrest some drug dealer, the drug dealer thinks to himself, self, if I punch this cop, if I pull a gun on this cop, if I shoot this cop, I'm taking this little drug dealing charge and I'm turning it into, attempted murder against a law enforcement official, and I'm going away for 50 years. I'd rather just do the 3 to 5 that I'm going to get for possession with intent to distribute or whatever. So they probably submit. What do you think when drug dealers are cornered and they're about to be captured by the police? How much more violent you think they're going to get if they know that the state's going to murder them once they're taken into custody? I mean, you're going to be killed anyway. Why not take a pot shot at a cop and at least take a chance of getting away with it? You understand the increased danger that would put your police force into? Of course not. It's not that hard. Now, I'm not done. I got to take a break. This gives you your opportunity to stick with the emotional reaction to this stuff, because I got to tell you, it gets even worse and more short-sighted on the conservative side. The left on this issue has traditionally really been better and more freedom lovers, and it may be one of the few things. Now, it's because you might think they're all just a bunch of whacked out hippies. But it's a civil right. As I say, the phone's not lighting up with people explaining to me the part of the Constitution that tells the government that they get to dictate what I put into my body, because you can't find it there. It doesn't exist. Real freedom is real freedom. Freedom to do dumb things. It's still a freedom. So anyway, but it gets worse than that. In the short-sightedness of a policy like this, that this crowd is cheering for, and I'm going to flesh this out, because like I say, I wasn't here to step in front of the Patriot Act when people cheered for that thing. Even though libertarians are standing on the sideline going, oh my God, no! Department of Homeland Security, that even sounds like German Stasi stuff. What are you doing? Warrantless surveillance on the American people? The National Defense Authorization, where they now have the power to scoop up an American and hold them without trial, without charges, without an attorney? And now that's being used on the January 6th protesters. Huh? Who could have thunk it? Well, I'll tell you. People tried to warn you before that. I want to step in front of this one while I can. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show. I sat back and watched everybody pass the Patriot Act, cheer for the National Defense Authorization, everything in the war on terror, and now you're realizing it's biting you in the butt. I'm trying to save you that regret again. And this is the thing that's amazing to me, and I talk to a conservative audience. Like I say, it seems like you're getting so close on so many issues, but then emotion takes over, or a bright, shiny leader tells you something, and you just cheer for it. Drug dealers can be pretty bad people. I'll be honest with you. I've probably known a dozen people in my life particularly in my youth, that dealt drugs to one degree or another. They were providing ecstasy to people who went to college parties. They were dealing some weed. At the time, I was a bit of a drug warrior myself. I thought, oh my gosh, you do something. That's just, that's pretty slimy stuff. But they weren't dangerous people. Are liquor store owners bad? They deal out an intoxicant every single day. Alcoholics go into liquor stores across the country and do more and more damage to themselves. But they're not bad people. They're business people. People are going to drink. We learned that in the 1920s. Doesn't matter how many laws you pass, people are still going to drink. Matter of fact, they drank more during Prohibition than they did when it was legal. But the idea is, I mean, am I crazy here? Do you mean to tell me that after the past 2 years of people being locked in their homes, forced to close their businesses, you had pastors arrested for preaching on a Sunday morning and congregants harassed by the police in the parking lot for being in their car during COVID lockdowns? Masks were being enforced. You actually had law enforcement in some places that were going around and kind of poking people with their batons to stand 6 feet apart. They have mandated masks in certain. They forced the masking of our children. And of course, then the mandated vaccines. And your thought is, when it comes to this idea of death to all drug dealers, your thought is, we need to give the government more power. At a time when the Trump supporters finally understand the corruption of the FBI, the CIA, and the rest of the law enforcement deep state up at the very top, you want to give them more power to kill people if they, air quotes here in the studio, deal drugs. Now think about this for a nanosecond. It really doesn't take long. I'm telling you, when I heard this, it took me all of about 3 minutes to realize all the ridiculous things about this idea of death to drug dealers. And I'm hearing it discussed in conservative circles, and I hear people say, yeah, I'd support that. Of course, in your world, the police, the cops, the DEA, the FBI would never plant drugs on somebody that they wanted targeted for elimination. I mean, certainly the FBI would never hound hundreds of Donald Trump supporters and attempt to destroy their lives because they attended a January 6th protest, would they? Oh, that's right. They did do that. But certainly this apparatus, given the ability to kill somebody accused of dealing drugs that day, I'm going to finish out this clip in a second, certainly our government would never abuse that power. You're a dissident. You're going against the regime. You're tired of them trampling on your rights. How hard would it be for them to swing by your house while you're at work, providing for your family, plant a couple of bags of drugs in a cabinet in your home, and then come back about 6:30 during dinner time and find those drugs? No, they would never do that, would they? You trust your government. It's because they love you that they're fighting this war on drugs. That's why. They would never do that. And the beautiful thing about what Donald Trump's about to propose that constitutional conservatives were cheering for is that it completely eliminates due process as well. Just wait till he finishes this part out. Do you remember when you cheered for the government to give them extra power to fight against terrorism and what happened within just a few years? Political opposition to the regime here now has labeled you a what? A domestic what? Anyone? Anyone? A domestic terrorist. They made you give up a ton of your rights in the fight against terrorism. Suddenly you become a terrorist. So how long would it be with expanded powers in the war on drugs before you become a drug dealer? And now you want to follow Donald Trump into this world with extrajudicial death sentences for drug dealing. How many years until patriots out there who want to fight against the regime at some point be some level of resistance, a squeaky wheel? And they know who you are. We know that. You've put it all over social media. How long will it be till you're considered a drug dealer? Air quotes around that. It won't be long. Here's the rest of this stuff for all you constitutional conservatives out there.
We don't need any more blue ribbon committees. We don't need, I don't like to say this, and I don't even know if the American public is ready for it. And a lot of my people Say, please don't say that, sir. That's not nice. They kill 500 people each on average.
Now, this is an interesting statistic. I actually ran a little math on that. It's about 100,000 people a year die of drug overdoses. The last I'd seen, it was about 35,000 of them were from illicit drugs like heroin and cocaine and meth and stuff like that. The vast majority of people are killed by prescription drugs, big pharma. So it's just interesting to me. Each person kills 500 people. So if each drug dealer had a 10-year career, I did the numbers. I did the math. If every drug dealer had a 10-year career, and over their careers, they killed 500 people, based on about 75,000 deaths a year, we've only got about 1,500 drug dealers in the entire country, according to that math. There's 1,500 drug dealers in the state of Mississippi right now. There may be 1,500 drug dealers within the sound of my voice, people dealing little amounts of weed or ecstasy or crystal meth. And I don't like that. Of course, crystal meth wouldn't even exist without the war on drugs. People wouldn't have been looking underneath their kitchen sinks to cook up something to intoxicate themselves if they had access to marijuana at a store like they have access to a pint of Fireball. But there's only, according to this, only about 1,500 drug dealers in the whole country. You'd think they would have rounded them up by now, don't you think? Of course, that math is ridiculous.
And if you don't do this, in China, when I was with President Xi, I said...
Now, where did Donald Trump get this great new idea about how we should handle the American people? I've already... The phone line's deathly silent on anybody I ask you to find in the Constitution where it says that the government can forbid the kind of plant that I can consume and what form. They allow us to take fermented plants. If they're liquid fermented plants, that's okay. If they're desiccated plants that you smoke or eat in a brownie, those the government says are no good. I've just asked where in the Constitution that said, phones are dead silent on that because it's impossible to find. It does not exist in the Constitution. It's not a power that the government has over us. Even if it's a freedom you don't want to exercise, it's still a freedom for a free people. We're just not a free people anymore. But where did Donald Trump get this great new idea of murdering drug dealers? From the dictator of communist China.
The president, do you have a drug problem? No, 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 we don't. He looked at me like I didn't know what I was doing. He said, no, we don't have a drug. How come you don't have a drug problem? He said, quick trial. What is a quick trial? Quick, I sort of knew. What is a quick trial? That's where if you get caught dealing drugs, you have an immediate and quick trial, and by the end of the day, you're executed. That's a terrible thing. But they have no drug problem.
There you go. We're getting our drug policy from the dictator of communist China and constitutional conservatives. I guarantee you go through that crowd and say, well, what's your political leaning? I'm a constitutional conservative. They are cheering for advice on law enforcement from the brutal dictator of one of the most controlled societies on planet Earth, the communist regime of China. Everybody is around here saying, we got to fight these Chinese. They're in our universities. The Chinese are coming to take us. But when Trump gives you a communist Chinese policy around the drug war, you cheer for it. This is, to me, it's unbelievable stuff. And this is why I say I wish we had a nation of thinkers, not emotional, knee-jerk reaction stuff. Hard drugs are bad for you, okay? Come pee test me. I'm not an advocate for drugs. I'm an advocate for freedom. People make all kinds of mistakes. One of my favorite things when I talk about this issue is people say, well, my problem is I don't want to be paying for a bunch of drug addicts and drug dealers and their medical care. Okay, well then do what us libertarians have been begging you to do for 50 years, which is get the government out of medicine. I don't want to pay for it either. The libertarians say the government shouldn't be in medicine at all. It shouldn't be a taxpayer's responsibility. So get the government out of health care. Don't continue a failed war on drugs because you don't want to pay for somebody's medicine. Okay, I don't want to pay for it either. Get the government out of health care. But I'll be honest with you. I think there's something like 600,000 diabetics in the state of Mississippi who have been shoveling Skittles and fried chicken and Diet Coke's down their gullet for the last 20 years. I don't want to pay for their stuff either. Do you have any problem with that? People who have heart disease from 30 years of smoking and eating garbage food, and then they live out the last 25 years of their life on Medicare with heart problems and emphysema. You have any problem with paying for their stuff? Doesn't seem like it, because we pay for tens of millions of Americans who make poor choices their entire life and then suck off this government medical system. No problem there. But you get an addict, and that's where I draw the line. Oh, you can destroy your health in a multitude of ways, and I'll pay for it, gladly. I'm a compassionate person, but if you do it with drugs, I can't abide by that. Just think this through. And I'm telling you, the biggest thing about this is I am stunned to listen to conservatives who have seen the incredible overreach of government power over the past couple of years, cheering for more governmental control, using a law that could so easily be used against you. You want to start a movement of freedom, liberty lovers when Biden gets reelected, or some other even worse authoritarian? There are worse authoritarians. He's so brain-addled, he's not even a very competent authoritarian. Whoever's behind him is quite proficient in it. But believe me, it can be worse than Biden, as hard as that is to imagine. You don't think they'd never plant any drugs on you, would they? To know that they could get rid of you by midnight that night? Yeah. This is a power you want the government to have. I mean, they've shown such restraint over the past couple of years. You've got people from January 6th rotting in a prison cell right now. Some people being investigated, their lives being turned upside down, and the Justice Department is crushing them under their heel right now. And they never even went into the building. They just attended the rally. The FBI said it's the largest investigation they've ever undertaken. To go after people who went to a protest, and many of them didn't do anything but maybe walk around in the Capitol, taking selfies. But you want to trust this government and these agencies with the ability to murder you before midnight on the day that they find drugs on you, with enough to distribute. Within the course of a day, I mean, Trump's idea is, let's take this communist Chinese idea from that great, wonderful man, Chairman Xi, and let's roll it out here. Kill them by midnight. By that night, a quick trial, and by that night, you're dead. Doesn't sound like a whole lot of time for a call to an attorney, for evidence to be presented, for you to put up a defense, for you to call witnesses. Nope. Sounds like they swing by your house, find a big bag of cocaine, and we'll see you later, man. You're a drug dealer in our eyes now, and that's all that matters. You won't be seeing another day. Just think about this.
At first I was afraid, I was petrified. I kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights just thinking how you'd done me wrong. I grew strong. I learned how to get along.
All right, I had a caller right before the last break. Didn't have time to take the call. If you want to call back, I'll open up the phone lines next hour, 601-879-0002. You want to take exception to what I have to say, I'm just asking you to think. I'll meet you in the middle if you want. If you support the drug war, and particularly Donald Trump's call for extrajudicial same-day killings of drug dealers, you can believe that. But please, for the love of God, stop bringing up the Constitution. Please stop. It just comes off as silly, ridiculous. Don't pretend you're for a free nation set free by this great document, the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and then tell me that because somebody engages in a personal behavior that you don't approve of, they should be locked into a cage and possibly just murdered by the end of the day. Just if you stop using the word Constitution, I'd at least back up a little bit. It's just the hypocrisy that kills me. Hypocrisy, ignorance, I don't know what it is. I know it's an emotional issue. But I started this out by saying, I just wish we had a nation of people who thought for a nanosecond. You made such a horrific mistake with the Patriot Act, Department of Homeland Security, the TSA. Think about the governmental abuses of the last 20 years, the stripping of your freedoms, not to even mention the last 2 years, and just stop for a second and quit giving the government more power. Quit giving it more money. Quit giving it more credibility. Quit worshiping it when your guy's in charge. Oh, the government works for me now. I've got stories about that coming up in a second, a Judge Napolitano column. You quit using the term constitutional conservative if you cheer for this stuff, and I'll back off a little bit. It's just I can't take that. That's the hard part I have. That's a faux understanding of the Constitution of the United States. We are free to make a bunch of bonehead decisions, and I would imagine everybody listening to the sound of my voice, I may have made the most of all. As I've said many times, I could do a week's worth of show of the mistakes that Mike Madison has made over the course of his life, some serious, some stupid. There's no law against that. I look to myself to fix those things. I introspectively look and say, ooh, you big swing and a miss there, dummy. Sometimes I make the same mistake several times. But there is nothing in the Constitution that warrants any of this stuff. And to hear a constitutional conservative crowd cheer for this and then talk about it on talk radio is more than I could take.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. If anybody found during the break or anything where in the Constitution the drug war is allowed, or if you believe that Trump's idea of bringing communist Chinese dictator Chairman Xi's drug war to the United States aligns with your constitutional beliefs, and you can show me in the Constitution where it tells me that it's perfectly fine for me to sip a fermented plant in front of a police officer, but if I smoke a desiccated plant in front of that police officer, I should be kidnapped, put into a cage. If you find that in the Constitution, Bill of Rights, anything, let me know. You can call in and say it. And if we're going to talk about death for drug dealers, which drug dealers are really the problem? As I've said, illicit drugs, 100,000 people a year die every year from properly prescribed, properly taken medications. That's 100,000 people a year. That's the same that die of drug overdoses. Trump said 200,000. The statistic is actually 100,000, I believe. You know, there, of course, there has been this rise with fentanyl. That's a big problem, isn't it? You know who warned you about things like fentanyl? People like me, who explained to you what is called the iron law of prohibition, which means if you make something illegal, then it will get stronger and stronger so they can smuggle it in the tiniest possible packets to get it smuggled. The same reason that people take into sports stadiums flasks of hard liquor as opposed to a 12-pack of beer. Can't smuggle a 12-pack of beer in there, so you got to get the hard stuff. It's the only thing you can smuggle in there. This is not hard. All I'm asking is that we think. That's all I'm asking. So fentanyl wouldn't even be a thing in the drug culture right now if it wasn't for the war on drugs. So please don't talk about the fentanyl deaths to me. Those were created by the drug war. But 100,000 people die every year from properly prescribed medications. And then there's this. Headline is myocarditis in kids under 18 cases up by over 100 times in Canada. Large Canadian hospital has reported this. Before COVID, they'd see 2 cases per year. Now they see 27 in 6 weeks. That's 117 times increase. Not 117%, 117x increase. Of course, your CDC, your loving protectors, say it's slightly elevated. Since the baseline rate of myocarditis in kids is 1 per 100,000, this suggests that we are seeing 1 per 1,000 kids. These are obviously vaccinated kids getting myocarditis, and it's probably even more than that since the Thailand study showed almost 30% of kids sustained cardiac injury of some sort from the vaccines. You don't like to pay for the medical care of people who do drugs? What do you think about paying lifetime medical care for all these children that are being damaged by drugs? But they meet in boardrooms. They contribute millions of dollars to presidential campaigns of both parties. I wonder if this death to drug dealers idea that Donald Trump got from Chairman Xi, the communist dictator, I wonder if that would apply to the people who gave him $1 million for his inauguration fund that have currently are in the process of killing and maiming hundreds of thousands of Americans. I wonder if they would suffer the same fate for something. That's a nagging part of me that says, nah, they wouldn't be subjected to the same thing. I mean, I would think a death is a death, a murder is a murder. But apparently, if you've got a Fortune 500 boardroom, murder is just a statistic. Just an antidote. Got full liability protection, too. Not only are you not going to be rounded up and murdered by the state by the end of the day, you're not even going to get called into court for it. Matter of fact, you're going to make millions of dollars in personal bonuses for it. It's just a very interesting application of the law where somebody who sells a tainted pill is murdered by midnight in the drug war, yet the board of directors responsible for the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people, and it's not even just in COVID, it's in a regular basis, properly prescribed, properly taken medications kill 100,000 people, more than die of illegal drugs, yet they're on the cover of Fortune magazine, they're on CNBC, they're chauffeured around in limousines. And the reason that is because they contribute to political candidates. It's just a very interesting application of the law. But if there's any constitutional conservatives out there that want to justify the drug war or the new proposal by Donald Trump from communist dictator Chairman Xi that we start murdering anybody who deals drugs before midnight, I guess this is along the lines of take the guns first, due process second. This one feels a little more serious. I mean, it turns out that was his roommate's drugs. Oh, man, we murdered the guy because we accused him of dealing drugs and killed him that night. Oh, gosh, golly gee willikers, it was actually his roommate. And when his roommate saw his roommate being murdered for his crime, he booked. He's gone. He's in the wind. Never going to happen. Judge Napolitano put this out, too. Should you trust your federal authorities? You know, and the funny thing is, too, I guess I should go back to the story. Just last week, I think I read the story about the most corrupt DEA agent in history. Yeah, I should probably go back to that in case you missed that show. The guy was living large, bribing people. There's a bunch of people. He said there's a whole bunch of people in the DEA that are also guilty of skimming money from this, including prosecutors. Other people that have gotten involved in the war on drugs and been massively corrupted. And he said, you know, we all know we're not putting even a dent in the drug war. We're doing absolutely nothing. He said, we all know it. I'll have to go and pull that story so I've got the direct quotes to show you that even the guys in the DEA who admit to all of this corruption, it's not even worth anything because they know they're not even putting a dent. Not even putting a dent in the drug trade. As a matter of fact, they're just making it more powerful. I'm just asking that we think. That feels like maybe I'm really imposing on people to think rather than emotionally react. Drugs for kids are bad. Do you know who's responsible for keeping your kids off of drugs? You. That's right, you. I know you want the daddy government to do it for you. I don't want to see any kids on drugs. Even marijuana, which is really a... Most people are kind of over the reefer madness propaganda that they put out on us, but I don't think any kids under 21, certainly probably 25, really need to be smoking a lot of weed. It can affect the development of your brain. It is no good. Same thing with alcohol, of course. Yet I found a way to drink a large part of my high school years away, and certainly when I got to college, it was Katie bar the door. I was a big drinker. But I don't think the liquor store that sold me beer with a fake ID should be, I don't think they should be murdered that night because I was doing stupid stuff. But people look at, they can't keep drugs out of a prison for the love of God. We think, well, we just do it a little bit harder. It's like the education system. Just give us a little bit more money. We can do it. Like the war on terror. Just give us a few more agencies. If we just allow people in blue shirts to molest your grandmother as she tries to board an airplane, really feel her up good, then we can beat this war on terror. We can end terrorism everywhere. Just let us grab the privates of your little boy because he could be a terrorist. Now that little boy might turn out to be a drug dealer someday. I'm going to stop and frisk everybody to find, root out all these drug dealers. All you got to do is just, you know, more stop and frisk. That's right. Give up more of your rights. As I said, I couldn't get out in front of the Patriot Act. I'm trying to get out in front of this one. Just if we just were thinkers rather than emotional reactionaries. But as I said, if you'll drop talking about the Constitution, I'll drop challenging it. When I come back, if you trust these organizations, this is an interesting story about something else the FBI is up to now that I don't think a lot of people are paying attention to. I'd certainly never seen it until Judge Napolitano brought it up in a column that I checked out this morning. I'll do that when I come back. Stick around.
I tear my heart open. I sew myself shut. My weakness is that I can't do much. And my scars remind me that the past is real. I tear my heart open.
You ever seen one of those movies? Everybody has. Usually it's like a horror movie where just fear grips somebody and they start making terrible decisions. They go down into the basement instead of running out into the street and away from the home where the deranged killer is. Or somebody's just so out of their mind in fear over something that's happened, and the heroic character, the one that has regained some level of sanity and calmness and rationality, grabs that person by the collar of their shirt and they slap them really hard. They don't slap them because they hate them. They don't slap them out of violence. They're trying to slap them back into reality. That's what the show is. It's a love slap. Because right now we've seen this weird thing take place over the last 10 to 15 years, I guess, where the left, who were actually better guardians of civil liberties than the right cheered for the Patriot Act. The left, back in 2001, they actually objected to this thing. The right cheered for it. We've seen a weird flip. Now the left are complete totalitarians. They want all power to the government. For you people on the left, shame on you. You pathetic, easily manipulated cowards. So right now we find ourselves in a situation where the right is really probably the last linchpin to be pulled to full-on authoritarianism in this country. And yet you just don't get it. You allow these encroachments on liberties because somebody that you like sells them to you. I am convinced that the social credit system will roll out into this country not with the rubber stamp of the left, which is assured, but with the acquiescence of the right. It will be sold to you somehow. It might be a Donald Trump presidency or some other Republican presidency that will sell you on the central bank digital currency. Because right now, you're kind of hip to that. You're not really down with it. A lot of you, anyway, a lot of the normies will think it's real convenient. But a lot of people on the right are awake to that. So the left doesn't have any work to do there. They know they can tell their people to do anything. All they got to do is throw $500 into a digital wallet and go get it. And the left, because they believe the government is their daddy, they will run to central bank digital currencies. The right is the last linchpin. But I can guarantee you, should I stay on the air, and that's in some serious doubt right now, I will be able to try to talk you back from that, too, when it's Donald Trump or the Republican. I don't care who it is. It'll be the Republicans that sell you on the Fed coin. The red line that should never be crossed if you want to maintain any level of autonomy and personal freedom. The right will be sold on it. And this is why if Donald Trump can sell you on death penalty to drug dealers without thinking about all of the consequences I've just laid out for the last hour, then they can sell you on a Fed coin. They can sell you on a social credit system. Because you talk about the Constitution, but that's really just how it's presented to me by my favorite party or my favorite politician. It's the right and the left. But the right now, you're kind of the last line of defense. I'm grabbing you by the collar and slapping you really hard and going, would you please pay attention to what you're doing and what you're cheering for? This is a story Judge Napolitano put out. During the Trump administration, the FBI paid $5 million to an Israeli software company for a license to use its, quote, zero-click, unquote, surveillance software called Pegasus. Zero-click refers to software that can download the contents of a target's computer or mobile device without the need for tricking the target into clicking on it. the FBI operated the software from a warehouse in New Jersey. Before revealing any of this to the two congressional intelligence committees to which the FBI reports, it experimented with the software. The experiments apparently consisted of testing Pegasus by spying illegally and unconstitutionally, since no judicially issued search warrant had authorized the use of Pegasus. They used this on unwitting Americans by downloading data from their devices. Nah, our government, given this new extrajudicial power to murder drug dealers, would never target you and put you to death for something you didn't really do. They'd never plant anything on you. They'd never use this software to plant something on your computer and then bust down the door and find it there and then haul you off. Child porn. There it is. It's on his computer. Yeah, you can be part of the dissident class and you can trust these authorities by giving them more and more power. And the extrajudicial killing of drug dealers just opens up a whole new avenue for them to get rid of a lot of you people. A whole lot of you. When Daniel Ellsberg courageously removed the Pentagon Papers from his office and gave them to reporters from the New York Times and the Washington Post, he was charged with espionage. The papers revealed that Pentagon generals were lying to President Lyndon B. Johnson, and Johnson was lying to the public about the Vietnam War. During Ellsberg's trial, FBI agents broke into the office of his psychiatrist and stole his medical records so as to use them at the trial. The federal judge, but this was back in the 1970s. I'm sure they've been reformed. I mean, they've been held so accountable at these agencies. Surely the FBI realized the error of its ways. I mean, nobody got in trouble. Nobody got fired. Nobody got prosecuted for all of these things. We just assume they must be better than that now, right? Right? The federal judge presiding at the trial was so outraged at the FBI's misconduct that he dismissed the indictment against Ellsberg, and the government did not appeal the dismissal. Judge Napolitano says the Ellsberg break-in took the FBI a few hours and was destructive and dangerous. Today's FBI could have done the Ellsberg heist remotely in a few minutes. Today's FBI has agents who are the bad guys that they have warned us about. Today's FBI has morphed from crime fighting to crime anticipating. Today's FBI is effectively a domestic spying operation where nowhere sanctioned in the Constitution it should be defunded and disbanded. Yeah, they never abused their power to frame up a bunch of patriots out there. I mean, you're tying your own noose. I don't know how to tie a noose. I was never good at knots. I was a Boy Scout. I remember having some, I probably prepped for some exams to get a badge or something like that, but it's all out the window now. I don't know how to tie a noose, but I know when a noose is being tied. I can tell that. And it doesn't matter if it's the drug war, if it's Homeland Security, if it's the FBI and their new Pegasus toy, where they can just snoop in on your stuff. And it is interesting, the very first sentence of this piece is during the Trump administration. Isn't that interesting? That Christopher Wray, he's the gift that keeps on giving, isn't he? If only there had been a talk show host that when his name was first mentioned said, "You don't want this guy. I looked into his background. I saw what he was. And I warned you." I was told, "Trump knows what he's doing. The guy's a patriot. He's about to bust up the FBI from the inside, Mike." How's that working out for you now? Yeah, conservatives, you're so close. So close in so many areas. And yet so far away. It just hasn't clicked. And I think the reason is probably because as you get awakened to a degree, it seems to me that leaders understand this awakening and they grab it and they direct it in certain ways. They can't let it become unfettered. They can't let the ideas of real freedom in this country really take root. They've got to take you and say, "Yeah, we're all with you on the real freedom, except for this over here. Remember, we got to have power to do this over here, though, right? Okay, yeah, right, yeah. My guy told me that the government still does need to do this because this could really hurt us if we let this get out of control." And they just guide you around. It's like the more awake you get, the more they throw in front of you to redirect you back to some level of statism. And you're so close. But it's the thinking. You know, when you can think for yourself, you don't need somebody else to do it for you. You don't need Sean Hannity And a lot of people have learned that probably over the last 2 or 3 years. The Sean Hannity, the Mark Levins that are trying to convince you that we do need to face off with Russia. Oh, they're against the wars when Trump said he was against the wars. But with this one, yeah, Sean Hannity with his two CIA lapel pins he's got on, he'll tell you, but this one, we need to really hold Russia accountable. Now, I don't watch Sean Hannity unless I'm watching Tucker Carlson. And for some reason, sometimes I'm slow. I've got slow reef. I'm getting older. And sometimes I don't hit the remote fast enough to turn it off before Sean Hannity appears on the screen. And I'm always upset about that because I'm thinking, did that 30 seconds of viewing of Sean Hannity, that's not going to show up in his ratings, is it? Because I don't want to be complicit in Sean Hannity's ratings. So I haven't watched him in a long time, but let me guess, Sean Hannity is probably against all of the money going to Ukraine, but he does believe that we need to put Russia in its place. You know, it's even kind of interesting on that issue. Right now, I know a lot of conservatives that are against this funding of the Ukraine war. A lot of conservatives out there saying we have no business in this. Oh my gosh, Joe Biden's trying to walk us into World War III. You just can't believe it. Right now, a lot of people on the conservative side are looking at NATO and going, what the hell? There was this story of these two missiles that struck in Poland. We were tiptoeing towards World War III. Article 5, we need to come to the mutual defense of Poland over this thing. Turns out it was actually the Ukrainians. Somehow they've twisted that. It's still Putin's fault that the Ukrainians bombed the Poles. But it's interesting to me, as conservatives get to this realization that, oh my gosh, NATO is really kind of chomping at the... NATO for 30 years has been provoking Russia, yet your new... The savior that you want returned to the White House is the guy that got NATO, anyone, more money. I had hopes when I voted for Trump in 2016, he might pull us out of NATO. He was saying some disparaging things about NATO. When he got in there, did he get us out? No. No, he went to the other countries and said, you need to be giving more money to NATO. And he got NATO more money, made him more powerful, got him more weapons, made him more belligerent. Did it save us money? Of course not. No, our defense budgets continued to go up. Kind of interesting, isn't it? You can be sold something that says, hey, we've been toting the pay for this, the bill for this NATO operation. These other countries aren't given their fair share. And then Trump comes out and says, well, I convinced Germany to take it up to their 2% of GDP or whatever it is. I got NATO more money from all these countries. Now they're paying their fair share. Did it save us a nickel? Nope. I guess we're still paying the same amount, plus some now. You know, the $37 billion coming out of the Biden administration that Roger Wicker probably thinks isn't enough and isn't going to get there quick enough. And so what you really should want is somebody on the scene of national politics that says NATO was obsolete back in 1991. It's been obsolete ever since. It started this whole thing. And the last thing we need to be doing is signing up to protect Poland from a border skirmish with our own sons and daughters, moms and dads, brothers and sisters. But you don't look for that. It's like you're so close. You know that NATO's been a provocateur of this war. You know NATO's been aggressive. You know NATO is on the side of Zelensky and the globalists, yet you just can't get the idea that maybe you need to start looking for politicians that even oppose NATO down to its very existence that might get us out of NATO. No, it's just the guy who's going to get more money for NATO. That's my guy. I'll complain about NATO with my right hand. On my left hand, I'm going to cheer for the guy who's going to get NATO more money. Think. Can we not think for just a second? Citizens from all over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees, so will you catch me now? I'm falling. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WIAB, phone number 601-879-0002. I really get the suspicion. I think it's been confirmed. When I touch on these kinds of subjects, people just tune out. That's a shame. I'm just asking you to consider thinking something through I'm giving you some alternate. I mean, maybe you still disagree with me. I don't know how logically you challenge anything that I've talked about for the last hour, because it's logical. But because it takes on one party or a personality that you like, it's just dismissed, it's out of hand. And this is what keeps us locked in this. I mean, as I've said many times, I wish I had a show on a left-wing radio station. Whitney Webb, who was a great investigative journalist, one of the few remaining, she and I think Matt Taibbi has done some stuff on this, Glenn Greenwald, these are left-wing people, Jimmy Dore, they are sniffing out this green agenda. And Whitney Webb has got a great, I've got to find this piece. I saw an interview with her. She's breaking down this, God, I can't remember what it is. It's some of this ESG type stuff where she breaks down this like 30-point plan. I don't think it's Agenda 2030 itself, but some new thing that's rolling out about this idea of a sustainable future. And what it is all about is really, it's going to hurt us here for sure, but they are really targeting third world countries. They're going to go in and snatch up their resources. They're going to indebt them. And she lays it out in each one of these plans. Basically, this idea, this is going to be a corporate fascist control of the planet where they tax your breath and your farts for their profit. And she's no right winger. What I love about people like that is that they I'd like to speak to the left about that too. I don't have a whole lot of Democrat listeners. Every now and then an email or something pops up on social media where they a liberal will say, at least that Mike Madison, he's honest. It actually is. I kind of like that because I don't play the two-party game. But I know the rest of the hosts just go, yeah, see, he's the one that the Democrats like. It's because I'll spear the Republicans. I'll spear Donald Trump. I'll spear anybody that I think is wrong. I think that's normal, but to most people it's not. I'm not being a team player. But I would love to be on the left and just do hours of information about all of this stuff they're selling you as sustainable. It's corporate giveaways. I mean, the fact that the left is lined up right now with BlackRock, with Amazon, with the biggest corporations run by the biggest oligarchs, that's who the left is in bed with right now. They are willing to carry out the orders of the financial elites, the biggest banks. And so if I was on a left-wing radio show, that's what I would be doing there. But I'm not. I'm on a right-wing radio show. And so I will point out the errors of your ways there, because again, the conservatives, you're the last line of defense. But boy, you are so easily swayed, duped. That's probably rude. As I said it coming out, I was like, ooh, that's not going to play well. But it's true. I was duped. There's nothing wrong with it. I've been duped. I will probably be duped again at some point. This is why I'm so cautious now. When Elon Musk is making his moves and being this First Amendment champion, I'm telling everybody, I got to tell you, let's wait a few minutes before we hoist Elon Musk up on our shoulders and trot him around the room. The guy's an oligarch with a brain chip in the works. Let's just calm down a little bit. Same with Peter Thiel. He's the Republican oligarch, the Trump backer, the libertarian. See, I don't even care if this guy identifies as a libertarian. If he is putting out this Palantir data mining software that can be used to turn the key on the totalitarian state, I don't care what label he is. I don't care if he thinks he's a libertarian. It doesn't make any sense to me, but I will go after him too. And if the Libertarian Party, as much as I like the people running it right now, if they change, I'll go after them. See, I think this is normal. To most people, it's not. I'm not showing any loyalty. I'm showing a lot of loyalty to us, to people, to real freedom. This government's out of control. And to believe that this return, the second coming, is somehow going to change this. I looked at, you know, I was listening to the Trump speech, and he made a lot of references to 2 years ago. 2 years ago, we had the greatest economy. 2 years ago, we were, but 2 years ago, 2 years, because it's obviously a short period of time that Biden has had, and God knows Biden's done a ton of damage just in 2 years. The worst president of all time. I would rather have Donald Trump as our president than Joe Biden. Of course, I'd rather have a Labrador Retriever in the office than Joe Biden. But he kept mentioning this 2 years, and I was just thinking to myself, that was 2020. 2 years ago? the worst year in American history when it comes to freedom and prosperity. The worst. I'm not talking about up in the top echelon. I mean the worst. Full-scale socialism in 2020. That was 2 years ago. If he had said 3 years ago, I'd give him a little bit more credit for that. But 2 years ago, not a good benchmark. 2020, not a great year for conservatives, freedom, prosperity, if anyone was paying any attention. I'm going to play this clip, too, because I don't want to do this every day. I'm not going to do this every day. Of course, the people who don't like it when I do it at all probably already left the show. So this was Donald Trump talking about inflation.
Immediately tackle inflation and bring down to a level that it was, you know, we were at zero, but actually the best number is 1%. Do you know that? You don't want it really zero.
You don't want zero. You don't want price stability. You want to lose 10% of your purchasing power every 10 years. That's what you really want. This is a Keynesian economist talking to you right now. And his own advisor, what was the guy's name? Stephen Moore. He was one of Trump's economic advisors. I kind of like Steve Moore. I think he's probably a good pick. Of course, Steve Moore had to actually kind of play the game and twist his previous positions to accommodate what was going on during the Trump administration. But even Stephen Moore came out and said, oh, yeah, Trump's a Keynesian. He believes government spending is good for the economy. Now, to me, that's a no-go. That means the government's got to get bigger for us to be prosperous. I don't believe that for a second. But this is a Keynesian telling you, you need some inflation. That's just not true. Wouldn't you? You know, if we just needed inflation, then when TVs came out, flat screen TVs came out at $3,500, was it a tragedy in your life when they came down to $289? Was that bad? Was that bad for the American economy? I mean, we can't have deflation like that and those kinds of things. I mean, that's not good for us. We need price increases, at least 1%. That $3,500 flat screen should have been $3,535 the next year. That's being prosperous. No. The way they try to scare you, and the reason that the government tries to scare you away from deflation, they say it's the greatest threat. Now, there's some consequences to deflation. We're seeing some deflation right now. If you bought a home in the past year, you've got a deflating asset right now. We don't know how long that'll go on. That's not great for your balance sheet. But for the next buyers, I got a story out right now that says home affordability in the United States has gotten so bad right now that you cannot basically buy the median family home if you make under $100,000. The American dream now is capped. It's only for people who earn $100,000 or more, leaving out the vast majority of the American people, unfortunately. But Trump says, 1% perfect. You got to have some inflation for some reason.
But we were at zero. We actually got it to exactly 1%, the perfect number. One thing every economist agrees, don't have it zero. Have it like at 1%. They even say 1 to 2, but I said, let's do 1. And we had it at 1%.
So Donald Trump, they said, let's keep it around 1 to 2%. But Donald Trump, he says he picked 1. He picked 1 and nailed it. How about that? This is a very big, very complex economy, but this one man somehow convinced people that he stepped in there and said, I'm setting the inflation rate. He thinks you are a special kind of stupid to even try to take credit for that. Notwithstanding the idea that the money that was printed up in the massive budgets that the Democrats are equally responsible for during the Trump administration, but particularly in 2020, when they printed up $6 trillion. This led to the inflation that we have right now. But he picked this number. What's mystifying to me is if the presidents are this powerful, where they can just set the inflation rate and nail it to the 0.1%. That is impressive. I've never heard of that kind of power before, but we're told here that Trump had that kind of power. I'm not sure why Joe Biden and his advisors heading into the midterms didn't go, hey, you know what? American people are whining a lot about inflation. Why don't you just set it at 1%? Oh, okay. We'll just set it at 1%. You have got to be so economically illiterate to believe a word of this or to even contemplate the idea that credit should be given to any president for setting the inflation rate. Now, they certainly can affect its direction higher or lower. And the way you do that is by printing money, you point inflation higher. But unfortunately, we've got a completely economically illiterate populace. And it's kind of like I was talking about before, conservatives, you get so close. Get so close on so many things, and then the Republican Party goes in and comes in and says, "Yeah, we're with you. We don't like this inflation either. Let's call it Bidenflation and pretend that this old geriatric, corrupt piece of garbage in the White House right now. Let's just all pin it on him and give the Federal Reserve a complete pass." And conservatives go, "Okay, that's pretty funny. Bidenflation. It kind of rhymes." Instead of actually understanding that the money printing of the Trump administration, the Obama administration, the Bush administration, the Clinton administration, that's what gave you inflation. Instead of understanding that, as again, my title of the podcast is, for the love of God, can we start thinking rather than just reacting, blindly supporting, being distracted, everything else, just thinking. Seems like that shouldn't be a big ask.
Citizens from all over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right. Final segment for the day. This show is different than most. I told you I was having like a Howard Beale moment when I heard this, let's execute drug dealers by midnight of the day they're caught dealing drugs, and conservatives cheering for it. I had a Howard Beale reaction to it. And if you don't know who Howard Beale is, check out Howard Beale on YouTube. See his outburst where he just had enough. I'm telling you, you conservatives are the ones standing in the breach right now between us and a totalitarian government. It doesn't take 2 minutes to think about all the unintended consequences of extrajudicial killings by the government just for accusing you of doing something and how badly that could be abused, not to mention all the other things that I brought up about it. I used to be a bootlicker in the 1990s. I remember making sure that I got up on Sunday morning early so I could catch Fox News Sunday. I don't even know if they had their full 24-hour news network on. At least I don't think we got it yet. But on Fox News Sunday on the Fox channel, the Fox affiliate, they would have them, and Trent Lott would come on. And I've admitted to this before. It's so embarrassing. I wish somebody had grabbed me by the collar and slapped me. But I remember listening to anything that Newt Gingrich or Trent Lott or anybody said on these Sunday morning shows, and I'd go out and regurgitate it all week. And I would use the term, this is so embarrassing, Trent Lott is such a stud. I used to say that in the 1990s. I've been a bootlicker. But if you can't see where bootlicking has gotten us by now, I know the show's not making any difference then. Because you know what really struck me the other day, I was thinking about it. We have a situation going on in Ukraine right now that could escalate into one of the worst wars, maybe the worst war in the history of mankind. The advancement of weapons since World War II is pretty profound in their killing power. This is an unnecessary war on both sides. Putin shouldn't have done what he did. We shouldn't have provoked him into doing what he did. There's all kinds of things about this. But what really struck me was the Grip and Grin. Now, a lot of good people I know who go to Grip and Grin. I really like these people. And I guess they like to rub shoulders with some level of power. And Roger Wicker went, I think it was to the Grip and Grin or some Republican group or whatever. And it just really struck me. You've got a guy walking into a room full of people, most of them with very little power. I know there's always people at this stuff that they get rich off the system. You know, they might be real estate people who love low interest rates. So they love when the Federal Reserve manipulates the money supply to really shove down interest rates so that they can make a bunch of money. I mean, I kind of get that. At least I understand where you're coming from. But a lot of people who don't benefit from the system at all. But you got a room full of good people in there, and a guy walks in the room that is literally making the likelihood of World War III that could end the lives of millions of innocent people. That guy walks into the room, and I don't know if there was applause, but I can guarantee you there's a lot of backslapping and handshaking, a lot of boot licking. This is a human being whose decisions and power within our government make it more likely that millions of women and children meet an early death. The people of Ukraine right now, who I've got no beef with, I wish them all well. Well, except for the Nazis over there. There seems to be a pretty big contingent of Nazis in Ukraine. But outside of them, I wish the Ukrainian people well. They're suffering right now. And their suffering is nothing compared to if Roger Wicker got his way of he wants a no-fly zone over Ukraine, which puts our pilots in direct. He's going to sacrifice some of our troops to fight this war that has no business of ours, and we provoked largely in the first place with the overthrow of the government in 2014 and everything we've been doing for the last 30 years in, under the name of NATO. This man who is actually advocating publicly, out loud, for policies that could lead to the worst war that humanity has ever witnessed was greeted at the Grip and Grin with grips and grins. I don't know if anybody else thinks about it that way. I've told you my mind's weird. But I think it is my revulsion of my own boot-licking days. The shame I feel for it. The wars I supported, the death, the mayhem, the abuse, the lack of rights, that just everything. I'm so embarrassed about it. But up to and including today, these politicians who get us into these situations that have run this system into massive debt, completely crippled us financially, they can walk into a room to grips and grins. That's amazing to me. It really is. And this goes all the way from the top to the bottom, seems like. I guess if we just rub shoulders with power, we're satisfied. I'm just begging people to think for a change.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.